listening, Prabhupada is some godbrothers come to visit. Puri Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, and some others visiting. Prabhupada asks, forgive me for my offenses. I mean, speaking in Bengali, you can understand the gist of what he's saying. And of course they're saying, no, you didn't commit any offenses. And Prabhupada says, in the course of preaching, one sometimes commits offenses. As earlier on, this is mid-October. This is like a month before Prabhupada passes away. Earlier on, after Prabhupada got this telegram. At that time, that was the fastest way. Telex just sort of started to come in. Telegram. Prabhupada used to, if he really wanted to communicate fast, he'd use a telegram. Rarely ever used the telephone. It just wasn't part of Prabhupada's tradition. And he got a telegram from Madhav Maharaj, Mata's next door, and praying for your health, and Prabhupada, and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada, Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada immediately dictates to Mal Krishna Maharaj. He said, all you God brothers, please forgive my apparatus. All that he says, please forgive my offenses. It's a fact in preaching, in developing an international society or a national society, and organizing devotees and insulating young devotees who don't know how to only know yes or no. It's and other circumstances, it's hard not to avoid being, not to criticize or say things that otherwise as an individual you wouldn't say or do, but to say it and do it in order to protect others, or in order to keep certain standards. And hard not to, Prabhupada says. Preaching, sometimes one commits offenses, even involuntarily. It's not a voluntary thing. And it may not even be offense, of course, but it's type of conduct that as an individual one doesn't do, but in a particular role, Prabhupada as an acharya and the founder of Krishna Consciousness Movement, sometimes people in the role of spiritual master or GDC or temple president, or they have to say things, do things that otherwise as an individual you don't have to say and do. Either you digest it, it doesn't affect you. that's part of the risks that come along with preaching. And one depends on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for protection, just like Lord Chaitanya says, Bahu Shishana Karibe. One shouldn't accept many disciples, but in Prabhupada says for preaching, we have to accept so many disciples. In fact, better not to accept any disciples, especially for conditioned souls. Self-realized souls, it's all right. Or at least there's no risk spiritually. But conditioned souls, you accept disciples, you become burdened by karma of dependence, and that makes your own spiritual life more difficult. And Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, it actually decreases one's spiritual potency. But still, for preaching, Prabhupada says you have to do it. So again, one depends on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Otherwise, don't need devotee, individual doesn't need to accept disciples. It's not to any personal advantage. So as Prabhupada says, sometimes for preaching one does things that one otherwise ordinarily wouldn't do. Lifestyle, travel, of course the masses are supposed to travel all the time, associating with members of the opposite sex. But still, everything has to be done carefully, even then. Preaching is not a license to commit offenses, it's not a license to transgress the etiquette of sannyasi, it's not a license to accumulate wealth. So yukta vairagya is one thing, and then using philosophy for carelessly or for one's own personal needs is something else. So one has to be careful. The Srila Prabhupada was concerned. Maybe in the course of preaching, I'd have to say things, and Prabhupada even wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that's there, even there was some suggestion by some of Prabhupada's godbrothers that you should actually edit out those things in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada writes about his godbrothers. Of course, didn't do that, but it came as a formal request to the GBC. So Srila Prabhupada put forward, and it's a good example. Prabhupada made very strong statement saying that these warring factions who are disobeying Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that already is a strong statement to put in writing, that a Vaishnava is disobeying his guru, and then to also say that they're useless is very strong. But still, for the future, how would the Krishna consciousness would not survive, would we not be subject to the same temptation of, it's much easier to go your own way than cooperate with others. And the temptation of followers and wealth and so on can easily lead one to fractionalism and party spirit. Prabhupada wanted to make that strong statement so that it's there for the future, and it may upset and certainly seem to upset some of his god brothers, but Prabhupada wanted to cite the history and also give a judgment on it. Even though it may upset others and it may bring Vaishnav conduct out into the open public and public media, still there's a higher cause. So Prabhupada immediately asked for forgiveness. Especially at that time. But even if devotees think I've committed some kind of offense, then they shouldn't hesitate to ask for forgiveness, especially when the opportunity is so self-evident, like when Prabhupada's godbrothers just on their own come and show up. Then, yes, we should do the needful. No one's ever gone wrong by being humble in that regard, by asking for forgiveness. So why not? And Prabhupada also in that way showed the real example that we should also, when we're aware of some offense, we should ask for forgiveness. And even if we're not aware of some offense, but we think that perhaps in the course of service, in the course of duty, offense is committed, then we should apologize to the concerned party. Because Krishna takes Vaishnava Aparadha very, very seriously, as in the case of Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish and so many others.